Hi, this is Jeff Klein, ex-IMSA racer, and welcome to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 391, November 19th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1Weekly podcast brought to you by the Northern California Rotax Jim Russell Challenge, or the Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Challenge, however you want to say it. And Marin Karting. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And, of course, we love the Northern California Jim Russell, Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge. There you go, Stephen. Wow.
For being off season, pretty busy week.
Very busy. On today's program, Braun GP is now Mercedes Grand Prix. Jenson Button goes to McLaren Mercedes. Jacques Villeneuve is preparing in Austria for his F1 return. And, of course, Motorsports Mondial with Mr. Nasser Hamid, the guru of global motorsports. Steve, welcome to the studio. And as you said, so much going on. We just have barely enough time to jam it all in this one-hour show.
And kind of crazy surprise type stuff, too. It's kind of like, huh, what? Mercedes pulling out of McLaren? What, Button going to McLaren? What? Wait a minute. What's going on here?
Exactly. Lots of weird stuff. But the big news for me was Braun GP being purchased by Mercedes-Benz or Daimler Mercedes-Benz. Apparently, they've purchased 75% and it's going to be divvied out, blah, blah, blah. But it's now Mercedes, period.
Pretty good return on investment for Russ Braun. Didn't he buy it for like a dollar?
Exactly. So I think Ross Braun will probably turn out to be just fine. I think his 401k just tripled.
Yeah, exactly. He now only owns 35% of the team, but
no, but it's very interesting. But a lot of this was talked about in the press, how Mercedes was impressed on how Braun did with the budget they did it with.
Yeah, and then also the fact that they did it with a Mercedes. They basically had a great season with Mercedes engines. They basically had the best car on the grid using that power plant. You know, and theoretically, if you really look at it, the team's probably coming pretty cheap as far as teams go for Mercedes compared to, you know, the kind of investment they had to make to get the stake that they had in McLaren. They probably paid twice as much for the smaller stake that they had at McLaren.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, McLaren will be buying back slowly the 40% share that Mercedes owns in McLaren, even though they have signed a deal to supply McLaren with Mercedes motors for the next 5 years, I believe.
Yeah, so I guess McLaren couldn't work the deal to buy the BMW motor factory.
Well, I think McLaren will eventually make their own motors. I think that's in the works. And we'll see what happens. But I think this Mercedes-Benz team, which, let's not forget, will still be run by Ross Braun. He will continue to be the team principal. Nick Fry will still be involved. And, of course, the kicker is apparently it's not official, but Nico Rosberg will be numero uno at Mercedes Grand Prix.
Should be interesting who they end up pulling in there as a second seater. There's been some talk about Heidfeld going. But reading between the lines what Norbert Hogg was saying in the press today or yesterday, in that, you know, we'd love to have an all-German team, but we, you know, we're global franchise and...
That's a bunch of hooey.
But
global this, Boudreaux.
So it should be interesting to see who they may pull. They'll tell Nick Heidfeld that they're bringing Timo Glock, you know.
Well, Timo Glock is signed for Manor, so he's signed up, and we thought he was going to go to Renault. Now that Jenson Button is going to McLaren,
which is just...
There's absolutely no talk of what happens to Heikki Kovalainen.
And Heikki goes back to Renault. Or he goes to a test role. But Heikki, I don't think, had a contract for this upcoming season, so it doesn't really matter. And speaking of McLaren, they didn't win their lesson last time bringing in a reigning world champion?
Very fascinating.
You know, I understand...
Very, very fascinating.
Wanting a quality driver in that second seat. But I don't think having two world championship owners mixes extremely well. Haven't we seen this through the years that when you have two guys who have been world champions on the same team, that it's really just a really good recipe for strife?
Well, Jackie Stewart was commenting on this today, and a number of people have talked about this. What we're looking at today is two guys who want to be number one. That situation in one team makes for imperfect bed partners because there will be differences from time to time, even though McLaren are probably the best engineering team with the most capacity to do the job. Button had looked set to stay at Braun for next season but could not agree with terms. In other words...
Basically, what Braun came out and told him was...
They wanted to pay him £4 million.
Exactly. This is how much we're going to pay you.
That's what they could afford.
Yeah, exactly. This is what we're going to... We don't care that Mercedes has come in. They basically just bought our debt. So, we don't have any more to pay you, Jens. This or see if you can find a better deal elsewhere.
So, I think he probably got an extra £1 million going to McLaren.
I think he may have also got the multi-year deal, which I don't think he was really in line to get more than 2 years at Braun.
Very
so I
possible.
Think that may have had something to do with it.
But I think that Hamilton is going to outdrive Jensen. Jensen is going to get frustrated. And we're going to see fireworks at McLaren once again.
When we get to about Hungary.
Pretty much, that's when the texting begins.
Yeah.
And I don't care what anybody says. I don't think it's a great idea, and I know Martin Whitmarsh believes in the human condition to improve itself through the years from Cro-Magnon to now, but still, I say that there will be problems to the competitive spirit.
Yeah, the only way that I could see something like that working would be is if the two drivers have exceptionally similar driving styles.
Exactly.
And I don't know that those two do, because I know that was one of the problems when Fernando was there. Fernando's a really hard in to the corner type driver, and Lewis is not quite so much. And so the setups were constantly an issue. But not only that, but it was Lewis's first season. He was pretty much poaching Fernando's setups anyway.
But anyway, I think this is a big mistake on Button's hand. I think he should have stayed with the Mercedes Grand Prix team. Because for less money, but I think he would have had... He knew the team, he knew the personnel, he knew the engineers.
Well, not like that, but he's in a position with Braun GP, then becoming Mercedes, to probably get more endorsements outside of the team...
Exactly.
...than he's going to get with McLaren.
Not only that, but now he's going to the dark side. The silver and black. You go in there, it's clinical, surgical... I mean, they talk about passion. Those people are drones.
For a British team, they're kind of German.
They're very German. That's why
they work so well with Mercedes for so long.
Exactly. There's something about Ron Dennis. I think you said this many moons ago, but he comes off a little German.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going to happen, but two British former world champions together, and this has happened before, Stephen.
Has it?
Yes. Jim Clark and Graham Hill. 67 to 68 for Lotus.
How much strife was there there?
Not too much. Clark won 5 times. Graham Hill won none.
Hmm.
See? Sterling Moss and Tony Brooks. Mm-hmm. This is some of Nasser's favorites. 57 to 58. It was great. Jackie Stewart and Graham Hill. Worked out wonderful. Mike Hawthorne and Peter Collins, 57 to 58. We had Damon Hill and David Coulthard.
Hmm.
94-95 at Williams. Two British mates.
But how many of them were both world champions at the time that they were driving together?
I don't know about that, but... my favorite is Johnny Herbert and Eddie Irvine, Jaguar 2000. Those guys are pretty funny.
Yeah, that would have been an interesting paddock, interesting garage to hang out in.
Yeah, almost Lord Heskish.
Very close.
Yeah.
Now, if they'd been racing for Jordan, it would have really been Lord Heskish.
Yep, we have Brundle and Blundle. I like that, Brundle and Blundle.
Sounds like a law firm.
It's more like Ed and Eddie.
Or maybe an engineering firm.
Yeah. It's very interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm sure NASA will have some sort of historical perspective for us. But there you have it.
That's the way it is now. And because Jens is now at McLaren, that means Kimi can't get a ride with the one team he was willing to go ride with. And so he's going to go do other things next season instead of racing Formula One.
But I like what Jackie Stewart said. There's a totally different culture in McLaren, something that he might not have ever experienced. They have a very clinical culture which doesn't have the emotion or the drive in the same passionate way that a smaller team like Braun would have, more intimate, more loving.
Well, if you're going to think about it that way, then Jensen's probably going to be kind of at home because I imagine Honda was pretty much the same way.
Yeah, but towards the end, I don't know. It's hard to tell. They were still in Brackley, they were England, and it wasn't the Japanese hierarchy running the team, which was probably good.
Well, didn't seem to help him much.
Now, on the other side of the coin, we have a former world champion that couldn't get a seat or didn't want to get a seat.
He only wanted one seat on the grid.
Yeah, but
he couldn't get that one. So
the only problem is, I mean, I think if any of the other big teams had ponied up some big cash, he would have gone for it.
Yeah, of course.
But those days are over.
Yeah, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody that's going to pay you the kind of money that Ferrari is going to pay him for not running next season.
And I feel sorry for Kimi a little bit because he had some good drives in 2009.
Yeah, he basically got a lot out of
a bad car, really.
The fact that he was able to win at Spa was a pretty amazing feat considering how bad that car was. But I think that car was geared more towards the long, fast straight than it was to any kind of turning because it really did. When it was on a turny course, it was a pig.
Well, it's sort of sad, but Kimi Raikkonen is without a drive. It's official. He will take a sabbatical. And his manager has already said that his manager David Robertson has already said that he is now already concentrated on rallying. He's moved on, and he's hoping to get a drive in the WRC, which I find quite surprising. He hasn't really proven himself. I mean,
he's a talent. I can see him getting maybe a seat in a junior team, and he might be able to get someone, a privateer, to basically take him on for the season. But the top two teams, you know, Ford and Citroën aren't going to be interested in him. Like you said, he hasn't proven himself. He hasn't shown that he can, you know, race competitively in rally at this point. And then his manager also mentioned that he was going to look at trying to get a drive for Le Mans 24 hours, so which would tend to fit him a little bit better. Will be interesting to see what happens for Kimi as far as rally goes. You know, Citroën, you know, I suppose they might pick him up as a third driver, but I would seriously
doubt. Well, the problem is his biggest problem in rallying, as he needs to have a good relationship with a co-driver.
Yeah, and does he have anybody that he can...
It's critical.
And he really needs an experienced co-driver.
And so he's going to have to do...
knows how to, you know, write up a course and, he's gonna and have to feed
some,
it to him.
Right, he's going to have to do some junior rallies with a co-driver and develop that relationship that's so, so important. To a good team effort when you're driving in
the competitive rally, there's no way you can be competitive. You look at the guys that are on the top; you know, they've been driving with the same co-driver most of them for the majority of their careers.
Absolutely,
I was watching the Greek WRC contest on HD Theater this weekend, and you know, first time in a while that I've seen him. The guy that used to drive a Subaru,
Petter Solberg.
Petter Solberg, and. When you hear his code, it's the same co-driver he had 3 years ago when he was at Subaru. And he was looking pretty good in that private...
the private entered Citroën?
Yeah, the 06 Citroën.
Yeah.
I think he ended up coming third.
Yeah.
But, no, he didn't because he blew out a front strut. But he was having a good rally.
No, and that's fun to watch. And, and that's one thing. If Raikkonen... does succeed and makes it to rallying, that'll surge rallying's viewership.
Yeah, it certainly will help.
And the crossover promotions for F1 and WRC will be tremendous.
Exactly.
So yeah. I can see where the WRC would like to promote some similar to NASCAR trying to get Danica Patrick.
Yeah, exactly. They would love to get him in because, you know, he's going to put more people in front of their tellies or at the super sessions because he's Kimi Räikkönen.
Exactly.
He's a F1 world champion.
So, that would be very, very exciting stuff. Also, he can get a test with Darrell Waltrip along with the big gentleman I won't...
Really? Yeah, or Ganassi's team or... somebody.
Mika Salo's excited.
If I'm one of the IndyCar teams... I try to get him over here to run in the Indy 500.
That would be exciting.
See him race in the Indy 500.
I agree.
And maybe
I agree.
See him show up for, you know, maybe he's somebody poster child.
Absolutely. He's a talented driver.
Daytona 500.
Guy could probably show Mike Andretti a few things.
I'm sure that he would be competitive if you put him in an Indy car.
I think he would be competitive. And I agree. I think that's a great scenario. And it would be exciting. And not only that, but it would, once again, you'd get the more European viewers interested in the series, especially the Indy 500. I mean, Kimi Räikkönen in the Indy 500 would be huge.
Yeah. You know, and it's a situation where you could get him in for a one-off and you wouldn't have to, you know, you couldn't get him for a season in it. You couldn't pay, you know, Indy doesn't make enough to pay, you know. The entire series probably isn't going to gross the salary he's going to get from Ferrari this season.
No, but I think Kimi needs to do some of these things just to have fun. I mean, life, he's young. He's only like, 31 years old?
Yeah, something like that. It makes perfect sense, though, to get him in a car for a one-off at the Indy 500. That would just
I think that's exciting, Steven. We're going to bring it up at the board meeting next weekend. Let's move on. Apparently, Renault has received an offer to sell 40% of the team. Which is not unreasonable. They're trying to raise 30 million ducats to stay afloat because they think Carlos Ghosn might pull the plug in December. I don't know, but, you know, McLaren is now buying back 40% from Mercedes. I think Renault's got every right to sell a little bit here, a little bit there.
Well, ultimately, you know, and frankly, if you're Ghosn, you want to see that happen. You don't want to have to foot that entire bill.
Not only, and I'm hoping they're working on getting some good sponsorship. Also, Red Bull Racing is waiting before they can officially announce its plans to stay with the Renault power in 2010, even though Adrian Newey has so far designed the RB6 around that power plant.
Would be sad to see Renault...
They better not. Completely. They better not.
No, because if you lose, that would basically be two teams without motors because their own team's probably going to stay in some form.
Right.
But what that would knock us down to what? Because the BMW motors are gone. The Toyota motors are gone. What, are we going to have a spec series where everybody's running Cosworth? Or
it's not going to happen.
It's going to be Cosworth or Ferrari?
Trust me. Now that Mercedes is back in with a small budget team. Mercedes is attracted to this budget. It works well. Renault is going to cut their budget tremendously to match this similar kind of muscle and skeleton kind of a crew. And I think Renault is going to be motivated to stay in as one of the two manufacturers left, besides Ferrari. And some people don't believe Ferrari is a manufacturer.
Well, Ferrari says they're not. But
well, we call them, you know, artistes.
Pseudo-manufacturers. They're just masquerading for Fiat.
They're artisans, see. So, I'm hoping that motivates Renault to stay in. Because that way, if you can compete and beat Ferrari and Mercedes, that's great marketing.
Yeah, exactly. It makes you look really good.
Absolutely.
Makes the Frenchmen really proud of themselves.
Well, you know, we already have the cheese and the vintages, so we don't need more. I mean, come on. The women, the cheese. The 45 Chateau Margaux. Do I need to say any more, Stephen?
Do you need to be any more puffed up?
I am puffing. Good news. I have good news before we go to break.
And what's that?
Spa-Francorchamps has been issued a new operating license. Remember that it was revoked for like 57 years?
Yeah.
Something ridiculous.
Exactly.
Well, you know.
Oh, you ran a series. You ran a race without us giving the okay.
Well, some of the neighbors were whining and... These people just have to be paid off.
Well, also comes down to the fact, let me see. Which was there first, you or the track?
Well, you have to promise them a couple of cases of Chimay, some chocolate.
Frankly, what they probably did is they gave him two train tickets to Marseille the weekend of the race.
Perfect. Yeah, it's nice and quiet in Marseille. But anyway, yeah, this is great news. The historic Belgian Grand Prix venue has the original license revoked recently by an administrative court following complaints from the local drunks.
Does it actually say that?
Yeah.
The local drunks?
Well, I do rewrite it a little bit, Stephen. You got to spice it up.
Poetic license.
Totally. So, good news. Got to keep Spa while Abu Dhabi and Malaysia.
Got to keep Spa while
North Korea.
Bernie hasn't, you know, completely gutted the history of the sport.
Where we're going? We're going to Mumbai. Where else? Where do you want to go, Steve?
You know, what they go to Kamakata?
Huh. I'm hoping we might have a French Grand Prix one day.
Ooh, there's a novel idea.
Yeah.
Let me see. Well, no, we don't need no French Grand Prix. There are two in Spain.
Exactly. But that's good news. So Spa will be back along with Abu Dhabi and Malaysia. But Jean Todt, that's the good part about having a French guy in the FIA presidency. He's going to get the Grand Prix back to France where it belongs in the first place. Other than that, the sad news about Donington, I think that's pretty much over with.
Yeah, again, one of Bernie's debacles.
Well, not only that, but Donington got caught up in the economic crises.
Yep. Bad timing.
Bad timing, and really not good organizational skills by everyone involved.
No, definitely not.
So, but let's hope Silverstone can produce something exciting, because I know they're capable.
Let's hope Bernie will let them have it.
Well, they just unveiled, that's it. A new section in Silverstone, upgraded, some exciting stuff. So keep up the good work, the BRDC, and of course, Mr. Damon Hill. So we'll see what happens there. But and I'm excited about Jacques Villeneuve pumping iron and getting all excited. I have no idea where he's going to drive. But
he's coming back to Tin Tops.
Well, no, he's going to, you know, if he makes it, I'd love to see him back in Formula One. We've got slick tires. The cars are more suited to his technique. And now that BAR is now Braun is now Mercedes. I mean, he's seen the whole gamut there. We'll see what happens. But,
he'd be someone that a lot of the smaller teams really
use. I just
find
it would be a little bizarre. Kimi Raikkonen is on the sidelines because, well, we know it's too much money. But to see Jacques Villeneuve come back would be a little bit
USF
bizarre.
USF1, Jacques Villeneuve and David Coulthard.
Perfect. And they could both be unshaven and scruffy.
Yeah. And they can take each other out at every race.
Every race. So there you go. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Motorsports Mondial. We have a lot of goodies in there. And, of course, don't forget to get your Christmas presents out. I mean, purchases, that is, the calendar. La Dolce Vita is waiting for you. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And I do want to mention before I spin the globe that we're going to have the press conference from Hockenheim, which was the F3 Euro Series first race press conference. Very interesting stuff. Interesting drivers in there. And I want you to listen and pick out the drivers and see if you can figure it out. Anyway, now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Motorsports dude himself, Nasser.
If you leave me now, you'll take away the biggest part of me. Ooh, no, baby, please don't go.
Thank you, sir. Greetings and racing regards from Indiab to Zolder. And if anybody wants to know where Indiab is, it's the place where they had the first and only 1958 Moroccan Grand Prix.
Hmm. Wasn't it Casablanca, huh?
It's the outskirts of
right,
Casablanca.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Sort of like Prés Noirs.
Exactly. And you know where Zolder is, of course.
Of course.
Okay, never a dull moment in Formula One. Mercedes bails out of McLaren, surprise, surprise, after all the rumors all last 2 weeks. And Button bails out of Braun. That was really a shocker. Man waited over 100 races to win one race, then becomes champion with the same team which employed him under three different owners. Owners were basically North American, European, and Japanese.
And paid him a boatload of money during that time.
Tons and tons of money. And now he wants to take on Lewis Hamilton of all the places at McLaren. And I only have two words for Jenson Button. Good luck. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
Big mistake. Big mistake. I think this is the end of his career. He may win one or two races. First of all, we don't know how good the McLaren will be next year. Second, I don't care how bad the McLaren is next year. Hamilton will be better than Jenson Button.
Mr. Fobb, an open mind?
I tend to agree with Clark. I can't see Jenson being competitive with Lewis. Lewis is just such a talent. Unless for some reason the car that McLaren develops suits him better, which I seriously doubt, it's going to be a little bit like Rubinho driving with Michael Schumacher. He's gonna get a couple of wins tossed his way just to kind of keep him happy so he's not, you know, pulling the team down. But it's also a situation that could be easily be like it was 2 years ago with Fernando and Lewis on the same team. You know, a reigning world champion against Lewis Hamilton. Not a really good recipe for peace and harmony.
Yeah, and with all due respect to Mr. Button winning the world championship and his impressive run in the first half of the season, this is just, my take on things. For any driver to beat Lewis Hamilton in this day and age, he has to be as good or even better than Fernando Alonso. And this is just my humble opinion. On the grid today, there are only two drivers who can take on Nando in equal machinery. I mean, it's easy to beat a guy if he's driving a crap wagon and you have the best machine. But if everything is similar on, comparative package, one driver who can, hustle with him is tried and tested, and we know who that is. And the other is Sebastian Vettel. And Mr. Rogers, let me get a box of Kleenex here. And we all know from their recent history who was listening to I Feel the Earth Move on his iPod in 2007. It was really rattling in the Hungarian Grand Prix.
Well, I hate to say it, but I think it's going to be rattling way before the Hungarian Grand Prix in 2010.
We shall find out. Hamilton and Button at McLaren in 2010 will be the first time two British world champions in the same team since Jim Clark and Graham Hill at Lotus for going back late 60s. And, of course, McLaren had two world champions, and we know what happened there. Serious cage rattling, in-house cage rattling with Senna and Prost.
And there was a lot of laughs.
Oh, yeah, boy, I loved, you know, Ayrton Senna McLaren and Prost at McLaren, and then Senna throughout his career with Nigel Mansell. Those were junkyard dogs days. I love it.
Well, if Clark's numbers were right about Clark and Graham at Lotus, it could kind of be the same kind of season for them. All the wins for one driver.
Yeah. So, whatever. I mean, Jensen wanted more than £4 million, and that's what he's going to get.
But you know what? The interesting thing is they are saying, sugarcoating this deal as, it's not about money. Oh, what is it about? I mean, does he really went there to see, let me take on Lewis Hamilton and beat him in the team where right. everybody loves him.
Maybe yeah. he believes he's as fast as Lewis.
Yeah. And but you know, one thing I will say, we have seen with Prost and Senna in 1989 when Prost won the championship. We saw with Niki Lauda in 77 and again Lauda and Prost in 1984. You don't have to be the fastest driver to become world champion.
That's very true.
One thing I will say about Jenson Button, he makes very, very few mistakes. And that is something you cannot say about Lewis Hamilton.
I agree completely.
But I think the gap in talent and desire to win is wide enough that even if Lewis Hamilton makes a couple of mistakes and loses sure shot wins, or he's going to miss Kimi Raikkonen and nobody to run into in the pit lane on a red light, you know.
But the one guy that's excited about Kimi Raikkonen is Adrian Sutil.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Oh, I'm sure he is. The only advice I have for Adrian Sutil, don't take up rallying.
Very good idea.
He might run into him. And other famous British pairings have been Mike Hawthorn, who was the first British world champion, and who is on the cover of the La Dolce Vita calendar. And Peter Collins, when they were at Ferrari, and Stirling Moss and Tony Brooks, a very strong pairing for Van Wall. This was in the 50s. Now we come to a wee bit of wisdom. This is what 3-time world champion Sir Jackie Stewart had to say in an interview with BBC Radio 5 Live. I quote, "It's like walking into the lion's den because Lewis has had 3 years with McLaren now and he has it his way. He's already disposed of one driver that came in there, Alonso," end of quote. So will Sir Stewart be getting a Christmas card from you now?
Absolutely. He's always been getting my Christmas cards.
Good. Now, what I call next is the Button Brief, a look at his F1 life. In a shootout for the seed, Jenson Button is more impressive than Bruno Junqueira and makes his F1 debut in the 2000 Australian Grand Prix for Frank Williams and his team. And he was very young at that time.
Like 19?
Yeah, something like that. I remember when he went to his first race, he could not even drive a car because he did not have a valid driver's license or could not have one. So somebody had to give him a ride across around the track in a car. So that was pretty impressive and made quite a bit of news at that time. And his career up to that has been very, very impressive. And if anybody wants to check it out, please visit driverdb.com. And then he moves to Benetton in 2001. To make room for Monty, Juan Pablo Montoya. And the 2001 Australian Grand Prix was pretty significant. It saw the debut of Juan Pablo Montoya, Kimi Raikkonen, who only had done 23 races in a Formula Renault car, which is like an incredible, incredible achievement. And of course, our beloved Fernando Alonso. He made his debut there. Do you remember his debut?
Yeah, it's exciting.
How did he do?
He did all right.
Well, he made it up in the next few years, that's for sure. But at Benetton Renault, whatever they were called in those days, Button did not become the blue-eyed boy of Briatore, who Briatore of all the people labeled him a party boy.
Briatore no matter what people say, has an eye for talent.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he's come up with a few world champions.
Oh, yeah.
He's a professional.
Oh, yeah. And he's going to be back in Formula One. He's going to work something out.
I hope Jean Todt.
Yeah. But it was not me. The speaker, I'm telling him, just believe me.
I believe him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Come to my Sardinia club, have a few, and we'll be all right. Okay, but you know, the thing they're saying in his defense, like Bernie Ecclestone and some other people, that even people who murder do not get life.
Exactly.
Which is so true and sad, but that's the way it is. Then from the time of 2003 to 2005, Jenson Button, these were the halcyon days of bar sponsorship and team ownership. Remember, half a billion dollar budget.
Oh, yeah.
These are the only people who spent more money than Honda and Toyota.
Yeah, but we had tobacco money, which is always huge.
Yeah, smoking away. Button rattled the cage of part team owner and driver Jacques Villeneuve. 2004 was the year of Ferrari. Button and Barr were best of the rest. Jensen scored his first pole at Imola in 2004, and Moa was at that race. And he led the race over Schumacher for the first 10, 15 laps. And he was on the podium in 10 races. So it was a very impressive year for him. But then the Ferrari was so all-conquering, he had no chance. Okay, then came 2006 to 2008. Engine supplier Honda takes over the team, and in rainy condition, Button finally wins the Grand Prix in Budapest.
After mistakes by Fernando Alonso and Michael Schumacher.
And Kimi Raikkonen. Yeah. Now, what was the mistake by Fernando Alonso? This is when it was his team's fault, not his fault.
The tire came off.
The wheel, yeah, the lug.
And what did Schumacher did? Run into?
He ran into somebody or
Heidfeld or some.
Yeah. He ended up finishing the race. But
the best mistake was Kimi Raikkonen. He was changing his 8-track player on his McLaren, into Liuzzi of all the people. Where was Adrian Sutili? Well, he probably was not in that race.
No, he wasn't.
No, Adrian did have a
drive. I remember when he ran into Liuzzi. I said, what the hell is this? From nowhere. Anyway, 2007 and 2008 seasons were lost in the miscalibration of Wind Tunnel and Earth Dreams, which turned into nightmares on the track. Remember that paint scheme? Oh, jeez. Well, by the way, it was headed by the company that was heading that PR campaign. Simon Fuller, I believe, is the guy who also came up with Spice Girl, who discovered Spice Girl, and also the American Idol, or Pop Idol, as it is called, in the United Kingdom. So they must have thrown a lot of money on these promotional gigs. When Honda pulled the plug, Button's F1 career was almost over. But thanks to Honda money and the brains of Ross the Boss, Button was back in action for 2009. The Braun GP debut season turned into a dream season. Now Button will wake up in 2010 to the harsh reality of having Hamilton as a teammate. And I would like to take this opportunity to wish him again good luck. What say you?
It's all so strange. I can't believe he would be advised to... I mean, even Nico Rosberg, I'm sure, wouldn't want Lewis Hamilton as a teammate.
He pretty much talked out of not having Lewis as a teammate.
Yeah.
Nobody would want him. You never want to be a teammate who you know is going to be a big pain.
A threat.
Yeah, I mean, constant threat.
Yeah, through a whole season.
I mean, can you imagine trying to go into a team with Michael Schumacher as a teammate? I mean, how stupid can you get?
Yeah. Well, you know, if they were both coming in cold,
yeah.
If they were like both going to Red Bull the same year,
yeah.
That would be a little different.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But Button going into McLaren, where Lewis has been entrenched now for 3 years, it's Lewis's team.
I have an idea. I think on his TiVo, he has deleted, somebody deleted, John Button, his dad, probably deleted the 2000 season by mistake. So he has no clue.
I know. A little naivete is involved here, but.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
And it's amazing that he stood with Honda Barr in such lean, mean times that when everything was put together, I'm going somewhere else. I just don't get it. But hopefully he will prove all of us wrong.
It can happen. We've been wrong many times.
Yeah. And time will tell. Okay, now we come to the Silver Arrow, which this was also, well, it was in the news so long as a rumor.
Right.
And a friend of mine was fond of seeing rumors that started by management, said when it came out that Mercedes is buying 75%, it really was not a shock. The new Silver Arrow, McLaren working on production sports cars, is one of the main reasons given for Mercedes to take over 75% of Braun GP, and I'm sure there is more to it than what we know. The Spygate and Liegate probably did not go down well in Stuttgart over Spaten and Sauerkraut, because Mercedes is pretty much a, at least the reputation is very high quality, you know.
Conservative.
Yeah, you know, quality. And what is the word?
No,
I'm looking
white powder
for?
In the gas tank.
No. And yeah, I think they have their own copier machine in Stuttgart.
Exactly.
They don't go to Kinko's. So pretty sad there. It is good to see one manufacturer having a strong and long-term commitment to Formula One. So this is really, I'm happy about it. It's interesting, you know, how this Honda was so much involved in it. They leave and this thing turns into and you know, again, this is where really Toyota especially went wrong, and Honda also. They should have hired a guy like Ross Brawn, or he's not the only one. There are other people out there, somebody with a lot of involvement who, even if he was retired, knew the right people, you know, running corporate. I remember Jacques Villeneuve was interviewed once some years ago. And they were talking about the Honda team struggling. And he says, you know, hey, if you build great cars for the mass market, 10,015, that's one thing. But building a Formula One car is a very specialty business, you know. And this cannot be done with Ivy League MBAs. You know, this is a pretty serious business. You need the Jim Clarks, the Chapmans, the Gérard Ducarouge type people who are, all they know is motor racing. I mean, look at Ross Brawn. He made tons and tons of money. And now apparently he's making like £30 million from this transaction. But where will he be in 5 years? In which profession? Probably motor racing or gardening or sailing leave. A little look here at Mercedes in motor racing, which they have a very, very, you know, rich heritage in motorsports. Mercedes raced a car in the first automobile race from Paris to Rouen in 1894. And Rouen is the place, a street circuit, beautiful Nouveau Monde, corner, Virage Nouveau Monde, as you call it, very famous, and it hosted French Grand Prix. And this is where the Brabham team scored their first Grand Prix win many years ago, driven by Dan Gurney. Pretty interesting. In the 1930s, Daimler-Benz dominated Grand Prix racing in Europe with their Silver Arrows, and a lot of great drivers drove for them. And then in 1954, they came back to motor racing and raced as a full works team with Juan Manuel Fangio winning the driver's title in 1955. I do recall when Juan Manuel Fangio was alive, he still had the, he was like the distributor or a big agency for Mercedes in Argentina. Maybe his family now owns it. And Mercedes came back to Formula One as an engine supplier to Sauber in 1993. In 1995, they hooked up with Ron Dennis and Mika Hakkinen, giving them two championships in 1998 and 1999. And in 2008, your favorite driver, Lewis Hamilton, became the youngest world champion with a Mercedes-powered machine. Which brings me to your favorite topic, the Blue Arrow, Le Renault. Mm-hmm. Now, I just read briefly some reports are suggesting that, you know, they're trying, there's this Russian driver, comrade Vitaly Petrov, they're trying to get him into Formula One. And some reports are suggesting that Renault may sell some stake in the team to a Russian group to raise millions of rubles and thus allow Petrov to make his Grand Prix debut, which is possible. And I am still convinced that Renault, within 12 months, is going to be out of Formula One. It's just really, they have nothing to compete against. And that's what these big companies like to do. They may stay in as an engine supplier, which I would love to see them do that. Because we do need big name, and I want like you to have a pulse.
No, but he thinks they're going to stick around because Mercedes is now a full-fledged works team.
Mercedes is not their direct competitor, you know. It's in terms of production cars, you know. But let's see what happens. There is hope, Doug Rogers. Okay, here now we come to the enigma from Espoo, Kimi Raikkonen. You know what? I'll tell you. I know for a fact Michael Schumacher and Ayrton Senna could not have pulled out the stunt he did. 23 car races and in Formula One and scoring a point on his debut, which would have meant in the case of Ayrton Senna that he would have to go to Formula One basically straight from Formula 4, 1600, because he probably did 30 races, 30, 40 races there. And probably Michael Schumacher straight from first season of German F3 to Formula 1. If they could do that, they would have done that. And here is this kid who hardly says anything to anyone. He pulls it off, and then just last 2 years, bigger meltdown that we saw in 2007. Obviously lost fire and desire, but you know, when people say so-and-so is not a worthy champion, whether it's Damon Hill or Jensen Button, this really proves with Kimi Raikkonen, especially last year when his teammate almost won the championship, that even if you are the most gifted, naturally gifted racing driver in the world, and he's certainly one of them, that you still have to do the business, to borrow a phrase from Mr. Damon Hill. You still have to make it happen. But I heard from a very, very reliable source in the last 24 hours that he may be driving for Citroën in World Rally Championship. You can laugh, and my source may be wrong.
You mean replacing Sebastian Loeb?
Because I don't think.
Obviously, Loeb has won 6 championships. He's not going to be there forever.
That's not what it was said, but he could be competing against Sebastian Loeb. But let's see what happens.
I think it would be great for WRC to have Kimi in there.
Yeah, plus he's such a big name, you know.
Yeah, well, no, and, me and Steve spoke about it, and the key is having a good co-driver. WRC, that's key.
It's a lot more about teamwork. The other thing that we were thinking about it was is that he has so little rally experience, especially at the WRC level, that we had a hard time seeing one of the big teams picking him up. With that lack of experience, okay, he's a great driver and all that, but a Formula One car versus a rally car, completely different animals.
Yeah, but you know, he's from Finland, and those people love the drive on the ice.
And not only that, but as I said previously, I think he would bring a lot of viewers, crossover from Formula One to WRC, and would be he would be the typical Kimi Raikkonen, but I think he would bring something to WRC, a Danica Patrick brings to maybe NASCAR if she moved over there.
Yeah.
Not as sexy. But.
Yeah, but we don't want to see a Kimi Raikkonen swimsuit edition on FHM or something like that.
What we did say we wanted to see was Kimi race in the Indy 500.
That's what we said, yes. What do you think? Kimi Raikkonen for Team Green.
Oh, that would be very good.
Wouldn't it?
Absolutely. No, the guy is tremendous racing talent.
Tremendous talent. I'm sure he could do it.
Oh, yeah. No question in my mind about it.
So there you go. That's what we're pushing for.
Yeah, Kimi at Indy 500.
Kimi at Indy.
I think it's a good idea.
Sponsored by Finlandia.
Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
Yeah.
Or Jim Beam, whatever.
Oh, yeah. There's no shortage of those things. Okay, some sad news. This is really, I hate to see this year come to an end like this. There is only one race remaining in your favorite racing series, which would be
Chase.
The Chase for the Cup is coming to an end. The bell will be ring. The sprint bell will be ringing soon. One race remained in the Chase for the Cup after last Sunday's race in Phoenix, Arizona. Winner was Jimmy Johnson in his Chevrolet, who is now almost certain to make history this weekend in Homestead, Florida. First NASCAR champion 4 years in a row. Not bad for an everyday kid from El Cajon, California, which is located east of San Diego and west of Omaha. So what are you going to do when the NASCAR season is over?
I'm going to do what I continue to do.
Which is?
Ignore it.
And, it will be ending in November. And then December, January, and February is Daytona 500, right?
WRC starts early, too.
Yeah. And by the way, talking of racing, this weekend is the Macau Grand Prix. And I'm told I heard a rumor that the race will be on BBC TV. So if you want to YouTube or whatever, you know, that's what I'm told. Yeah, BBC will not do a Macau Grand Prix. 3-day tape delay, you know, with 70% of the laps chopped off.
Or a 3-month tape delay.
Thank you. Nice, Robin. Okay, you know, do we have time for a little moment in motorsport history?
We do have a moment in motorsports. Let's do it.
Steve is saying 4 minutes.
No.
Or is he flipping both of us European style? Okay, Riverside International Raceway. This came to my attention the last minute. The first Formula One race in California took place on November 20th, 1960. After F1's first foray across the pond, Riverside hosted the second U.S. Grand Prix. The inaugural event was held in Sebring in 1959, which, of course, was won by Bruce McLaren, and he became the youngest Grand Prix winner at the time, till that record was taken by Nando. Nando in Hungary.
El hombre.
Oh, yeah. Mujer. Okay, the 75-lap race at Riverside was won by Stirling Moss in a Lotus, while Jack Brabham recorded the fastest lap. And, you know, the interesting thing about, I mean, I never knew this. Riverside history started in 1957, and unfortunately, there was a fatality on the first race week, and a driver by the name of John Lawrence was killed. And the same thing happened, tragedy struck again in the very final race at Riverside, when a gentleman by the name of Mark Verbosky, a club racing driver, lost his life in the final race in 1989. And I was going through the history of Riverside track. Quite a few people have been killed at that track. I mean, I knew Rod Stommelin, who was a Grand Prix driver, was killed there. And there was a gentleman from Billy Foster from Canada. He was Mario Andretti's very good friend when they first came into the big racing scene in the 60s. Joe Weatherly was a very famous NASCAR driver. He was killed there. And, of course, Ken Miles. Anybody who knows anything about the Ford GT program would know that, know this name. And Les Richter, a lot of people know him. He was involved with Trans Am, IROC Racing. He was actually a football player from the LA Rams, and they have now moved to other palatial studios. Yeah, of course. And he used to own the track when it was sold to some guy named Fritz Duda in 1983. And this dude wanted to turn it into an apartment complex and housing complex, which is what they have done now. So this great track. I went there a few times. It was a very, very nice track. And I've mentioned this once on a podcast before. My everlasting memory is when I went there, I believe it was 1987, because Dan Gurney's team was there, and that's where I went to see them. And my friend Dan Rubel, we were walking, and you know what the final sweep was? There was this Rick Hendrick Corvette car, sports car, and it was traveling at full-blown speed in qualifying. And when we saw that car turn and, like, basically glued to the track, we were walking, we just stood there and looked at each other. And we still talk about it. How impressive that, you know, that image was, everlasting. And now apparently some people have built a track or are building a track with the same name somewhere in the Central California. But, you know, just like Ontario Motor Speedway and just like many other tracks, Riverside is now just a memory. And that's where I saw, believe it or not, my very first NASCAR Cup race, 1986, and Darrell Waltrip was the winner. And I enjoyed it very much, by the way.
Well, and as you know, Darrell Waltrip is responsible for
boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
And you're truly getting his test drive.
You know, I was sure he would like to
and
know
Mika
from
Salo.
How much they enjoyed a half-mile racing track. That's what I want to know.
Well, when you do their interview, once they're retired, you can ask them.
I'm going to ask them, what's the difference between going Eau Rouge and going through Puha and Redion, compared to turn one, turn two, turn three, turn four, all in half a mile.
You know, one-tenth of the of Monza.
I'm sure it's very exciting now, sir.
Oh, I'm sure.
Thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We'll take a quick break and come back with the press conference from Hockenheim F3 Euro Series first race. Just a couple of months ago.
We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
The Formula 3 Euro Series press conference after race number one. Saying hi to the winners today. First of all, to first place, Gilles Bianchi. To second place, Valtteri Bottas, who knows this chair very well. And to Jean-Carl Vernet, a long time no see here on the podium. Welcome back. First question to you, Gilles. It looked like being very easy today for you. Was it so easy?
No, it's not true. It's never easy, you know. I was pushing every lap to be faster than the other driver, and I was really concentrated. I did not a really good start because I sprinted too much. but I keep my first position. Then the corner three was a bit difficult for me because I was in front and everybody was going really fast in the straight, so it was difficult, but I stayed in first position. After the first lap, Valtteri and Roberto did some overtaking, so I could go a little bit. And then I push a lot to make a good gap, and was going just really well for me.
But now we see Valtteri again sitting on the second place chair. You are already the champion. Could you have let him pass somehow? Maybe that he can sit on another chair on the podium here.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not my goal. My goal is to win some races. So yeah.
It was just like a funny question.
Yeah,
so.
I know.
Nevertheless, now there's one race to go. To your aims for tomorrow?
I will try to do as I do every race, to go in the points again, because it's the most important thing in the championship. Even if I already won, I want to make a good score. So I will try to push and to make a good start and to finish in the points.
And then the season is over. How much will you be celebrating tomorrow night?
Yeah, of course we will do a really good party with everybody in tomorrow evening. But after that, I have to be concentrated again because we have Macau, and last year was so difficult for me, and we have to push this year to make a good result.
Thank you very much, Jules. Walter, we said it again. You're sitting again on the second place chair, but it could have been easily the third chair today. You had a really big fight with Roberto. Talk us through that, please.
Yeah, in the second corner after the start, he managed to come inside me, and he just could overtake me, and I really couldn't do anything about it. Then in the hairpin after that, I tried to overtake him, but without success, and also in the next corner. And then there came a bit of gap, but I closed it, and immediately in the second lap, I managed to overtake him in turn 4 or 5. And that was it. I think I was a bit faster, so I knew that it will be just a matter of time. But in the first lap, it was really a tough fight with him. But I was trying to do it all the time without any big risks, because I really need some points.
Now you've got some points.
Yeah.
There's just a rookie championship to be on the line for you, but now the chances are really good for you, I think.
Yeah, I heard that Sings was sixth, so if he wins tomorrow, I need to get 2 points to beat him. So I will have just a normal race. I try to do my best without any big risks, and I hope it's enough.
And when will we see you on this chair? Next year or this year?
If not tomorrow, then it will be next year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Valtteri, Kitas, Jean-Carl, long time no see here on the podium. What happened in the meantime?
I had a lot of bad luck, a lot of crash, and after... No, the race, during the last race, we were very quick, but two guys crashed into me. After in Dijon, I had penalties after a strange decision from the stewards. So I lost a lot of points at the championship, and I can be really disappointed for the final ranking, but it's like that. Today it was a good race. I started P6 and I was directly before. I took a good start, and after it was quite difficult to overtake Roberto, because he was, even if it was really fair, it was closing the door at the hairpin, and it's the only corner where you can overtake without risk. So I was safe behind him, and I did a mistake, and after I passed, the package was really quick, so I was able to attack after and to make a gap. So no, sure, it's a good race. I think tomorrow I can do the same results. I have to finish in front of Roberto and also Mika for the championship. Mm-hmm. Now it's my goal is to finish fifth. I can do it, so I will attack a lot tomorrow to finish in front of these two guys.
What can you tell us about your future? Well, what is on the line for next year?
Not GP2, I don't think. After, I would like to do DTM, so we'll see. It's my goal with Audi, because for Zion is Audi, but now we'll see. I want to do DTM, we'll see the opportunity after the test, if I test. But I really want to do that, we'll see.
Perfect, best of luck to you. And now, we finish this press conference with the statements in your own languages, starting with you, please, in French.
J'ai pas fait un très bon départ parce que j'ai patiné un petit peu et ce qui fait que Valtteri était très près de moi au premier virage. Ensuite, à la fin, c'était un petit peu difficile puisqu'ils arrivaient beaucoup plus vite que moi, dû à l'aspiration, et ce qui a fait que c'était un petit peu serré. Et ensuite, j'ai juste poussé pour faire un bon gap avec, avec les autres pilotes et finir la course en tête puisque c'était mon but de gagner la course ici au KNM pour prendre un peu ma revanche sur la première course.
Merci Jules.
Joo, eli oli vähän hässäkkäin tosi kerroksella Merkin kanssa, kun olette ohittaa mua ja pääsikin ohi, että mä onneksi pääsin aika nopeasti takaisin siitä ohi. Ja kuudes kerta, kun olin toinen, että kyllä se vähän syö miestä, ettei se ykkösiä mennä tule millään, mutta jos ei se huomenna tunne, sitten se tulee suona, ettei sitä väkisin kannata yrittää. Nyt mä tarvin vaan huomenna vähintään 2 pistettä, jos Simpsi voittaa, koska sitten mä olisin 3. sarjassa. Se oli tuon vaan tavoitteena. Mahdollisimman paljon pisteitä pitäisi kohta saada.
Kiitos, and again in French, en français, Jean-Carlos.
Maintenant, j'ai pris un bon départ, c'est très bien passé, j'étais directement quatrième. Après, j'ai mis un petit peu de temps à doubler Roberto. Il a fait une erreur, donc j'ai pu passer et créer un gap parce que j'étais un peu plus vite que lui, essayer de revenir sur Valtteri. Donc voilà, c'est une bonne course. En partant sixième, on ne peut pas espérer faire beaucoup mieux. Donc, plutôt satisfait.
Merci bien. Jean-Carlo Benet, third today. Valtteri Bottas, second today. And the winner again, Gilles Bianchi. Thank you very much and best of luck for the season final tomorrow. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, let's go to the wrap-up with the forum updates.
A quick forum update from yours truly. And on the forums right this minute, so you think Button's a worthy champion? And How I Live in the Countryside is still alive and well. A couple of threads about RC car racing. Kimi's out of F1. Predictions on who's going to win the most races in 2010. Jenson Button again appears in his new McLaren garb. Kubica's quick exit from the rally of Taormina Messina. An update of Donington. Will the FIA grant Indy drivers a super license? USF1 behind the scenes. V8 private game. Getting started for you Bat Racer fans. And there's a single white fan looking for a Formula One team. Please apply on the forums.
And don't forget to click on the Yahoo ads.
Yes.
There you have it. Okay, let's go to the wrap-up. First thing to bring up, NAS, how's them calendars?
Calendars are doing good, sir. And they're being shipped as ordered. Most of the time.
I certainly hope the F1 Weekly listener is buying their moms and dads proper presents.
I hope so too, and I thank all of them who have, and we sure would like to hear some feedback. Especially I would like to know what their favorite photograph is. Apparently, people who have bought F1 Weekly listeners and otherwise, apparently the Lorenzo Bandini picture is a big hit.
It's the big winner so far?
Yeah, it's with the shark nose Ferrari.
Of course, and that will be the winner of this competition will get a dinner with Nasser.
Oh, wow.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna be a little tough for Lorenzo Bandini to claim that prize.
Keep up the good work, Steve.
That's a very open mind.
It's way too open. Yeah. Thank you, Steven. But anyway, yes, get your calendars, Christmas, and of course, Valentine's Day is coming up. Get them while they're on the shelf because this is a limited production. We're not printing as many as we used to back in the old days. And now we just print enough for the people and just get them now. Get them early because pretty soon Christmas is coming and it's hard for us to get to the post office because it's jam-packed full of people. We'd much rather ship them early.
Or buy two, one for the office and one for the garage.
Buy as many as you possibly can is what I say. Okay, let's go right to it. The Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series, which the season is now over, but you can always go to the website and check it out. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. And if you're on vacation in Northern California, you know, from the UK or Europe, check this out. It's a great program. You can go to marinekarting.com or simply pick up the phone and give them a call at 415-898-0999. We want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend, make us a fan, whatever they do on each of those sites. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcasts, email us at info@f1weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens and buys a calendar. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.